This morning's first scripture reading is from the Hebrew book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. You may follow along on page 10 of your pew Bible. Listen now for the word of the Lord, for his instructions and his promises to Abram. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
After being thrown into prison, after dreaming such dreams of greatness, after being enslaved, after achieving such dreams of greatness, after finding that his brothers are still alive, Joseph has words to say to his brothers. Our second scripture lesson this morning comes to us from Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 to 21. Please follow along on page 48 in the Hebrew Bible. Listen now again for God's word to you. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him?" So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, 'I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Now, therefore, please forgive the crime of the servants of the God of your father.'" Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept, fell down before him, and said, "We are here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people, as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends in faith, sisters and brothers in Christ, would you pray once again with me? Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover true peace. Through Christ our Lord and Savior, we pray, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Now, if there is one thing you ought to know about our three-year-old daughter, who you met earlier, and how we as parents are raising her, it is perfectly acceptable to be anything you want. Now, just up to a few days ago, Spider-Man was her superhero of choice. It's changed for you who are parents or grandparents or know anything about the world of kids' animation. The Octonauts have invaded, and Quasi, I believe. I think if I have the characters, that is who she is. And I'm not Mom, I am Dashi, and my husband is Captain Barnacles. Now, in this wild and crazy imagination that we have through our daughter, we've understood also that there are no limits to the imagination. Now, as parents, we glimpse probably more of what Orly will look like at 13 and 30 more than sometimes her 3-year-old self. But that's quite all right, because we're still wanting to impress upon her that she can do anything greater than her ordinary human limits, whether that's Spider-Man or an Octonaut. Now, in the same way, we realize that in our church calendar, just last weekend with All Saints, many of us paused to remember the saints who are now in the church triumphant, for the people who have shaped us and who through their lives showed us that we can be greater than any of the limits that society may impose upon us, any of those limits that perhaps we even put upon ourselves. For us, as a family, we paused to remember a particular saint, someone who impacted us to show us that our life is greater than just our very own lives. Our life is about serving, following, loving God, and loving our neighbors. This past January, my late uncle passed away into the church triumphant. And in the months leading up to his death, and especially after his death, I often have given thanks for his call to ministry that included international mission service. For many Presbyterians here and many people of faith throughout the world, my late uncle was the Reverend Dr. Syngman Rhee, who served as the moderator of the General Assembly of the PCUSA. Syngman Rhee is also namesake. I know you may be doing the history calculations in your head, the same name as the first president of Korea. Not the same guy, though. He would have lived a long time. Now, Uncle Syngman's faithfulness in ministry and in mission paved the way for me to also find my way in life. Going through confirmation as a high school student in a more conservative church, I would not have imagined being in a pulpit, wearing this robe, being in any kind of leadership position. But only more than a decade after that confirmation experience, my uncle introduced me to the PCUSA through the Young Adult Volunteer Program. This introduction actually came at a very critical time because I was no longer working as a management consultant for Accenture. I was downsized from my position, and I now sought a career more in line with my international and cross-cultural experiences. As a 20-something, this was probably the very first time that I can remember thinking about not just what next, but that intersection of my own personal history, my family history, and the choice of my career. More specifically, I can remember asking those questions, trying to find out answers as I discussed future plans with young adult volunteer site coordinators from Tucson, Arizona, and Cairo, Egypt. Both opportunities appealed to me because of the opportunity to work directly with migrants and refugees. You see, right around that same time, in early 2002, a particular news story caught my attention and must have brought new items into focus in my life. At that time, several North Korean defectors had crossed over into China and stormed the consulate offices in the hopes of seeking asylum. Now, I know in my news history, this really wasn't the first time North Korean defectors had made such movements, but it was the first time that I began to connect that current event story with my personal history, especially that of my mother's side of the family. In the early 1950s, in the months leading up to the Korean War, my mother's family traveled within the Korean Peninsula from North to South Korea in the hopes of arriving at safety and security. In the official language of refugees, her family, like many other Korean families at the time, were internally displaced. Too young to walk, perhaps even too young to remember. My mother. My mother rested on the back of her aunt, who insisted that she stay with the family. Too noisy because of her crying, my mother almost did not make it through that journey, had it not been for her aunt. Several years later, I also learned about another family story connected to North Korea. Although my late uncle Syngman had married into our family, his story has become our story. During his younger years, Japanese colonial rule defined and dictated my uncle Syngman's Korean heritage and homeland. His mother sent away him and his brother shortly after they were kicked out of school because their father was a Christian minister. These two brothers left family to seek safety and security and a better life. And through many twists and turns along the way, Uncle Syngman left Korea and eventually arrived in the United States and many years returned to the remaining families in North Korea. So you see, when I read the story of Abraham leaving family, leaving homeland, I can't help but think about my family's stories. But I don't think this is a story that's just for then. I often wonder now what this story looks like, especially as I think about God's promises of blessings and curses. One of my consistent prayers that has come out of this particular scripture passage is the understanding that I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. But I am blessed to be a blessing. Perhaps you've seen on a bumper sticker or on a card somewhere that phrase, blessed to be a blessing. I've also come to believe that God's blessings do not quite come in the same pretty packages that we come to expect. Sometimes they come through ultimate transformation. Sometimes they come when we think that all hope is lost, that somehow God can bring about greater transformation and reconciliation in the midst of broken bodies, broken lives, broken relationships, broken families, and even broken peace accords. I believe in this God of wholeness and healing. Do you? Now, through these blessings, it's also how I began to open up my own mind and my own heart to the many refugees from the Sudan, from Somalia, Ethiopia, and Eritrea, many fleeing civil war, religious persecution, and famine, while I was living and serving in Cairo, Egypt, as a young adult volunteer. I kind of left you hanging earlier before I realized, and perhaps you were wondering, what did she decide, Arizona or Egypt? But right around that same time, it's also how I began to understand that God was opening up my mind, my heart, and even my imagination to the son of a political refugee who happened to also be serving in mission service and living in the same house as us young adult volunteers in Cairo, Egypt. It's how I met Juan, then boyfriend, fiancé, and now husband. You see, during the early 1970s in the South American country of Chile, Juan's father went from serving in the military to serving a life sentence in a matter of months because of a military coup and the changing political tide. Brought to France without his family by the United Nations, Juan's father began a new life in exile. And returning to Chile again, but this time with his family and coming back again to France, Juan's family would begin their lives again. In his younger years, Juan will tell you that his home was always busy, always loud, full of music, but also served as a way station for the many Chilean families in the process of resettling into a new life in France. Now, in his older years, Juan traveled, and armed with his guitar, Juan traveled throughout Europe and North Africa. In more recent years, Juan has moved from France once again, this time to marry me, a Korean-American woman, to live in Michigan, and to start our life together. Now, after hearing family stories like ours, you probably wonder, wow, how is it that God could bring us together like this, to respond now, this time, to God's call? This time, yes, we have been in Michigan, but this time we are moving again, and this time we are moving with our daughter, this time to a country in which neither of us has traveled. This time we are working with individuals, with families who are seeking better lives for themselves, only to have human traffickers dash their hopes and dreams. For those of you who are looking for a definition of human trafficking, here it is. Due to the poverty of their circumstances, many children, many adults are working in cities, in countries that are not their own. And they're working under fear, under fierce force and coercion, submitting to employers and employment conditions in which they are treated more like property than the people they are. Abolished many centuries ago, the Atlantic slave trade may no longer exist, but modern-day slavery still persists in Asia and throughout the world. But I know you know these stories. I know you know very well the real-life challenges. If you were to turn on the radio this morning, flip through a newspaper, scroll through your phone, or perhaps your e-reader, you're hearing something about politicians or would-be politicians. Someone has something to say about people crossing borders, closing up borders. Someone has something to say about the many people who are making their way across water, across land, to find safety and security for themselves, but also for their loved ones. But I'm also wondering if we might have a very different conversation this morning. Because of God and because of the movement of people, I'm wondering if we could look back to our own Christian heritage and think about a forefather in the faith. I'm talking about Joseph. Joseph, not the father of Jesus, but Joseph, the favored son of Jacob who sported that multicolored coat. Joseph, that same Joseph who was nearly killed by his brothers because of sibling rivalry gone awry. That Joseph. Joseph's story is a story about sibling rivalry, yes, and slavery, but I see so much more. Joseph's story is a story about God's intentions for good that are greater than any brother's plans for evil. And so it is, as I reread the life of Joseph, my hope in the face of life-threatening, in the face of life-transforming circumstances, my hope is firm. But I wonder if that's not enough. I wonder where your faith and your hope are this morning, friends. I'm wondering if this morning what it might look like for us to believe again that the story of Joseph is a story of God who is still at work in the world. Can you believe that with me? Can you believe with me that God is still at work in people's homes, in their places of employment, in their desires to be free and reunited with their families? Friends, I invite you to not only believe with us, but also to pray with us, but to also cry, to lose hope, to have your heart break with us, but also believe again that God might bring about such healing and transformation that is greater than just one person. Could God do that work for the many Filipinos and Filipinas? Could God do that work for the many Asians who are impacted by migration and human trafficking? This morning, I'm asking you to believe again. And so it is that in that same spirit of Joseph, who proclaims God's intentions for good, which are greater than any of his brothers' plans for evil, it is the aim of the Presbyterian Church World Mission to come alongside of individuals, churches, organizations in the Philippines, but also throughout Asia, to support and strengthen their programs for victims. But this work goes so much further and deeper than just simple rescue efforts, but also decrying the evils of child prostitution or child pornography. This work is about human rights. In this work, we also seek to address root causes of poverty, and in this work, we confront the cultures of sexual violence against children and women. And so it is that when I hear again Joseph's statement of faith and God's promise to Abraham, I would invite us towards a common vision of what it means to serve as mission co-workers with us. Can you believe and work with us towards God's healing and redemption, even if it means beginning with our own families of origin, but also encompasses God's desire to bless all families of the earth? Friends in faith, sisters and brothers in Christ, through this work, I find a reason to still praise God, to praise God for Abraham, to praise God for Joseph, to praise God even for this call to mission service. And I invite you, as members and as friends of the First Presbyterian Church of Birmingham, my prayer for you is that who you are and how you live will always serve as a testimony to the God who is greater than any single one of us, unto the God who is always seeking the greater good for all families of the earth. To the glory of God. Amen.